Amen. That's a good song. Praise the Lord. Well, this is a tough passage of Scripture. I remember years ago in Bern, Indiana, preaching about this and talking about, maybe made a reference to it, and had a new convert who said, I'm not coming back to church. I said, what do you mean you're not coming back to church? He said, why? He said, I don't want to do that. I would never put my kids on an altar like that and offer them as a sacrifice. I said, well, he didn't offer him as a sacrifice. But he was going to. He said, well, yes, he was willing to do whatever God said, but he didn't do it. And I mean, this guy was really upset. He was upset about it, but he did end up coming back. But it's a tough passage. It really is. And yet, you know, it really is all summed up in verse 8. Abraham said, my son, God will provide. God will provide. You know, it's amazing how strong we think we are until we're put to this test of whether God will provide or not. If we did a survey this morning and went around the room and said, do you think God would provide? Do you think God will take care of this? Do you think God will provide? Everybody, we would all say, oh yeah, sure. But boy, then the test comes and we waver just a little bit. Father, bless now, please. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from your word today. Challenge us. I pray especially if there's anyone here who's not saved, I pray they would see, God, that you did provide your son as a sacrifice when he died on a cross to pay for our sins. We thank you for that. Again, we ask that you would open the heart of anyone who has never received him as Savior. And I pray that you'll speak to Christians. Lord, help us to leave here with these three words etched into our minds, into our memories, that God will provide. Please bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of lessons from this passage, and we learn of faith, we learn of sacrifice, we learn of willingness. But I think the thing that just stands out to me is that God will provide. God will provide. And Abraham gives a testimony of how God provided a ram instead of his son, Isaac, his only son, his son that he loved very, very much, his son that he, you know, he had great plans for. In fact, God had promised him that his son would carry on the name and that he would be blessed in a very great way. And now Abraham is challenged by God. In verse 1, it says that God did tempt Abraham. Now, again, he's not tempting Abraham to sin. God doesn't do that. Clearly the scripture says that. But he is finding out whether Abraham believes him or not. I do want to remind you, the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for his righteousness. He did believe God, and we see it very clearly here. Abraham believed God. And now Abraham, though, is being put to the test. And you could plug you in there, you could plug me in there, our church, many, many incidents that take place in our lives where we're going to be put to the test of whether we believe God will provide or not. I'm not saying God can provide. I'm talking about, will he provide? And he says he will. God will provide. I like Abraham telling his son that. I like, you know, Abraham knows what's going on. Abraham knows what God has told him to do. He knows how sharp the knife is. But I do want to take you back to verse 5, and I love this. It says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham, hey, listen. He didn't know what God was going to do. He just knew that in Isaac shall thy seed be blessed. He knew that Isaac was going to grow up and Isaac was going to have children and that God was going to bless Isaac. And he didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know if he would slice his throat and God would miraculously heal him. He would die and God would bring him back from the dead. He just knew this, God will provide. Now, you know, we look at it and say, okay, well, that's all wonderful and everything. But Abraham hadn't read this yet. Abraham hadn't seen the video on this. He didn't know what was going to happen. All he knew was he had a God that would provide. All he knew is God made a promise. God said he was going to do this. And whatever God says for him to do, he's going to do it and he's going to trust God with it. Amen. God will provide. Let me ask you, do you need God to do something today? I mean, do you need God to provide something for you? God will provide. Many say it. Many. I mean, we're the Christians here. We're Berean Baptist Church people, and oh yes, of course, you know, God can provide, and I've seen God provide and all that. But here's the difference. Abraham believed it. I mean, Abraham really believed and was convinced that God would do it. Whatever it took. He didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know what would happen when he pulled up the neck and got those got his neck real tight there and drug that knife. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just knew that's what God told him to do. He had no idea what God was going to do. He had no idea how God would work this thing out. But he believed God. And I promise you, folks, something's going to happen tomorrow and you're going to need to believe God. Something's going to happen next week. You're going to need to believe God. Hey, God will provide. Do you believe that? Do you believe it today? God will provide. Yeah, but I don't necessarily like the way. Yeah, but God will provide. I mean, let's be honest. Couldn't God have just said, Abraham, I want you to take this test. Here's a little multiple choice questionnaire. Do you believe me? Yes or no? Circle the answer. And Abraham could have circled yes. Would you be willing, Abraham, to offer anything to me that I want and just circle yes or no? And he would have circled yes. And you would too. But here's the real test. Abraham, do you believe me? This wasn't about Isaac dying. It never was about Isaac. It was just, do you believe me, Abraham? Do you really believe me? Do you believe that I will provide? Yeah, hey, that's going off to Bible college. Okay, that was the question that was posed to me by God. Do you really believe me? I'll take care of you. Well, you know, God, I really don't want to go to Bible college. My wife and I have good jobs. We have a brand new car. We have a nice 3-bedroom house. Everything's going well. We're very young. And I really don't want to know. God said, hey, wait, that's not what I asked. Do you believe I'll take care of you? Well, God, you know, I just don't know. God says, do you believe me? Do you believe me or not? Many of our young people, some have already gone off to Bible college. Some are going to be going in the next couple weeks. Hey, listen, God will provide. If it's of God, He's going to take care of it. If it's of God, He's going to make it all happen. God will provide. Now look, we need to believe that. We need to believe that. That was Abraham's testimony. Abraham believed it. He didn't just say it. He believed it. And his son Isaac is, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. And verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, where is the lamb? And Abraham, in his mind, he knows where the lamb is. He knows what God has said. Hey, it's you. But Abraham just says, my son, God will provide. God will provide, and I love the wording here, and you've heard other preachers talk about, God will provide Himself a lamb. And Jesus Christ, God incarnate, is the Lamb of God that God provided. And what a beautiful picture of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins right there in that spot. But I just want to talk about God's provision. God will provide. And you know what? He always has and He always will. And I've got three things I want to share with you this morning that I want you to hold on to. Honestly, I think of our young people going off to college. I don't know how many times. I remember so clearly not having any money and not having any food and saying, God, you called me here. You said this is what I'm supposed to do. But you also said you'd provide. And how many miraculous times God did take care of us. How many times God paid a bill. How many times God took care of a problem. How many times God wrapped His arms around me and gave me the comfort that I needed at different times. God will provide. God will provide. Number one, His provision is perfect. His provision is perfect. Again, Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen, but God knew what was going to happen. God knew what it had to be. God knew what He would accept as a sacrifice. God knew exactly what was needed for that time. And verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Now again, he is ready to offer his son. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. He's ready to do it. God stops him. Abraham, Abraham. In verse 13, it says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And by the way, that thicket, just imagine the crown of thorns on the head of Jesus Christ would be very much like that thicket that that ram was caught in. What a picture of Jesus Christ. But the point I'm trying to make is, boy, they sure were lucky, weren't they? You folks that believe in luck, you're missing out on a whole lot of stuff. You need to get my message on there's no such thing as luck. And I'm just, you know, hey, Abraham, I'm telling you where to go. I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling you where you need to be. And at the same time, God is telling a ram, I need you to go. And I want you to go and get in that thicket. And your horns are going to get caught in that thicket. And you're going to serve me. Amen. Amen. Wow. His provision is perfect. Could have been a cow caught in the thicket. That wouldn't have worked. Could have been a big old moose caught in the thicket. That wouldn't have worked. Hello? Could have been a lion caught in the thicket. That wouldn't have worked. It had to be what it was because God always provides the perfect thing. His provision is perfect. And again, this isn't by chance. God said, ram, go to the thicket. And the ram goes. See, animals aren't like you and I. They just do what God says to do. You know, it's amazing how God will tell us, now, you go and do this, or you go and be at this place, and we'll argue with God, we'll whine, we'll gripe, we'll complain, and this ram did exactly what God said, and it was there exactly when Abraham looks. And there it is. I promise you this, I guarantee Abraham didn't say, wow, we're lucky. Boy, it sure is a lucky thing this thing is here. Huh? Bible says, Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. By the way, that's what God our Father did when he offered his son Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. Amen. Amen. That's exactly, you know, here a ram was needed as a substitute and God provided. You know, God just provides everything, doesn't he? Amen. And God knew that we could not pay for our sins, so he sent his son as the Lamb of God to be the substitute and pay for our sins. Galatians 2:20, he loved me and gave himself for me. And he did that for all of us. That's such a wonderful truth. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Amen. Amen. What was the Passover? That's when God provided a way of escape. And that's exactly what God did for our... Aren't you glad that His provision is perfect? Aren't you glad that God sent His Son and He sent a perfect sacrifice without spot, without blemish? And Jesus grew up here on this earth and He was born of a virgin and then He grew up and He lived a perfect life and He was without sin and He was without blemish. Perfect. Had He sinned, it would have been of no use. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. God will provide. Abraham says, hey, Isaac, don't worry. God will provide. God will provide. I say to you this morning, God will provide for you, just as He did for your salvation. By the way, it's perfect for a lost person. Perfect when I was 17 years old and I needed a Savior. I realized that I was a sinner and I was lost on my way to hell. And I recognize that I could not work my way to heaven. I couldn't do anything to get to heaven on my own. And I recognize that Jesus Christ came as the perfect Lamb of God and died on the cross to pay for my sin, paid in full, if I would accept that, if I would call on Him, if I would trust Him. And boy, I'll tell you, I am so glad that He is the perfect, perfect sacrifice. God's provision's perfect for our salvation. But you know what? It's perfect for Christians. He provides perfect things for you and I all the time. It's amazing. It may not always seem perfect. Amen. I mean, how many? There's folks all over this room will give testimony of awkward, maybe uncomfortable situations. And God provided, and at the time we said, yeah, I don't get this. But then we watched, and woohoo! Boy, God knew what He was doing, didn't He? He always knows what He's doing. He always has. He always will. Yeah, it doesn't always seem like it. I remember when Brenda and I just celebrated our 36th anniversary of the day we met. Amen. Yeah, got her a dozen roses, and that's just a special day. I wrote on a little card, the day my life was changed. And I believe that, and I'm still thrilled as I was then, maybe more thrilled now because I understand more. But we got married. And went on our honeymoon to the Smoky Mountains, and we had a wonderful time. And I remember we stopped somewhere. This is before cell phones. Hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's really hard for especially teenagers. Wow, what'd you do? How did you survive? Very well, actually. But anyway, we stopped somewhere, and the honeymoon was over. We were driving back to Indiana. And somewhere we stopped, and I talked to my dad, and he said, oh, by the way, son, you've been laid off from RCA. Wait a minute, we just got married, and I've been laid off from RCA? And he, you know, dad, he said, oh, you know, he said, it's really bad. I mean, there's a lot of trouble, a lot of problems and everything. I'm not sure what I'll do. I'll sit around and put her to work, amen? No. But anyway... So I was laid off. Now, at the time, that seemed like the worst thing in the world that could happen. We were renting half of a mobile home. Okay, try to imagine one of those 12-foot wide or 14-foot wide, maybe, mobile homes. Does that sound right? Maybe it was a little wider. I'm not sure. But anyway, it wasn't big. And we were in half of one of those. That was what we lived in. But I didn't know how I was going to make that payment. And my wife worked at Kmart, and I'm laid off, and I couldn't find a job. And boy, it looked like a terrible thing. It just looked like the worst thing in the world that could happen. But something happened out of that, and that was this. I had time. I had a lot of time because I didn't have a job. And during all of that time that I had, we started going to church. And in that church, the pastor started asking, hey, folks, we need help doing this. We need help doing that. It was during that time that I painted that swing set that I've told you about. It was during that time that the pastor got up one day and said, hey, we need some help in our Christian school. We need somebody to coach our basketball team. And, I mean, I just wanted to beat everybody else in raising my hand. But you know why I raised my hand? It's because I had time. And it was during that time, as I was coaching the basketball team, that God, in the back seat of a bus, called me to preach. And I look back now and I say, wow, God, you're so good. Because God will provide. Now, preachers had told me that. I was a new convert. I hadn't been saved very long. But I remember the preacher talking about God will provide. And I remember sitting there thinking, yeah, but I'm going to lose my half of a trailer. You know? Boy, that's a tough loss. And, you know, I'm going to lose this and I'm going to lose that. And, oh, woe is me. What are we going to do? And the whole time, God's got it all under control. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yeah. Listen. You got to understand. Perfect. His provision is perfect. You know, we can whine about it. We can gripe. Well, I don't like this thing. Yeah, I understand that. But you know what? He knows what He's doing. He always does. That's how He can say all things work together for good. You know, that's how God, why? Because God knows what's going on. I mean, really, Abraham, I want you to take your son and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. I want you to go there. I want you to take that knife and cut his throat and burn him on the wood. You know, God, I don't think you got this thing figured out quite right here. God, you promised me. Oh, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did God promise or not? Yes, he did. Then Abraham had nothing else to say. Just yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I mean, it's like in verse 1, God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Yes, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want to do, God. Why? Because I believe you, God. I trust you, God. Offer your son as a sacrifice. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, God. Whatever you say, you said that that my son is going to have many, many children and there's going to be grandchildren. It's going to go on and on and on and on. You promised me that, God. And you know what? I believe you're going to do it. So he didn't have to question anything. You know what our problem is? We just don't believe God. We often really struggle with believing God. But God will provide. Because he always does. God is not going to break his word. God will provide. World War II, some men were stranded on an island and it was surrounded by the enemy. And they had a plane and the enemy was just, they were so close to landing and taking them captive or killing them all. And the plane that they had was out of gas. And Sarge went to the chaplain and he said, look, here's our situation. We're here on this island. We can't get off. And the enemy surround us. It's just a matter of time. And the chaplain prayed and begged God to give him some gas. The sergeant just kind of went, where are you going to get gasoline on an island? And do you know that not long after that chaplain prayed, a huge tank of gas floated onto the beach. And the men recovered it. And they filled the plane and took off. And after they escaped, there was an investigation. And a U.S. tanker had literally removed their gas cargo 600 miles from that island. And it floated. Lucky, lucky, lucky. Uh-huh. God will provide. Just as God provided Jesus to save our souls, God will provide whatever your need today. God will provide. And his provision is perfect. Number two, his provision is planned. It is planned. You know, with God, he never gets caught off guard. God never says, oops. Never. God doesn't have to watch CNN to find out what's going on. Okay, he doesn't have to, you know, somebody, oh, the news reported this. He already knows about all that stuff. His provision is planned completely. Watch this now. In verse 2, it says, offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Okay, why? Because there was a wrong mountain to go to, but there certainly was a right mountain to go to. There were a whole bunch of wrong ones. There was one right one. Why? Because he told the ram to go where it's supposed to be, and now Abraham's got to go where he's supposed to be. Are you listening? I mean, okay, Abraham says, you know what? I'm going to go to a different mountain. I don't want to go to the mountain. God said, listen, God's provision is planned. He's got it all figured out. Just do what he says to do. That's all we have to do. We make it so complicated. We really do. And he says, I'll tell you where to go. Verse 3, it says, they rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Okay, here's latitude, longitude. Get your GPS out, Abraham, and follow it. It'll take you right to where you're supposed to go. I've programmed it into your GPS. Amen. He says, you know what? I'm not sure that this is a great place to go. I know the area. I'd rather go somewhere where the weather's a little bit nicer. I'd rather go somewhere where maybe it's a little more conducive for a burnt sacrifice. And listen to me. Abraham just, okay, God, you tell me where, I'll go. Isn't that good? Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. How do you know where it was? Because God told him where it was. And it's all part of God's plan. Don't mess with God's plan. Amen? I mean, we get so bent out of shape over God's plan. I'm amazed. You know, here you say, well, preacher, I mean, I just don't have any money. I'm hurting real bad. And hey, listen, but he does. He does. And then verse 9, they came to the place. What place? The place. Where? The place which God had told him of. The place. Okay, it wasn't multiple choice. Well, Abraham, you could go to several different options here. We've put in the computer all these different options. Whichever's closest would be, no. God said, you know, here's the place. Why is that the place, by the way? Well, because where that ram is caught in the thicket is where Jesus is crucified years later for our sins. God has a reason for everything he does. Amen. Amen. The place. You say, preacher, are you saying that if Abraham had gone somewhere else, that's what I'm saying. That's why some of your lives are... Because his provision is... God's... Hey, you know, before there was ever $10 many times over in my little box at Pensacola, before that appeared, God planned for it to appear. Before groceries appeared on my doorstep down in college, God planned for those groceries to be there. Had somebody else been there, they would have gotten my groceries, including, I believe, my Chips Ahoy cookies.
Amen.
And then, boy, this is good. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is stated to this day, in the mount of the Lord. The mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. His provision is planned. You don't believe that? Study the birth of Jesus. Study it all. Study Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem because of the taxing. Study it all. Kings make decrees because God says so. Kings make policies because God says that policy has to happen so that this can happen. And we complain, gripe, and whine. Did you know that there's going to be 7 years tribulation right after the rapture takes place? Did you know that tribulation doesn't just start right after the rapture? There's tribulation leading up to it. Yeah, amen. God has a plan for everything. His provision, though, is planned. Jesus had to go to Calvary, and everything had to happen the way that it happened so that he would die on the cross, because there was a plan. Abraham had to climb Mount Moriah. He had to go to the place God told him to go clearly, no question about it. Had to go to that certain place, because that was part of God's plan. I just think of all the time that God has steered my life so that I could be where I was supposed to be for his plan for me. I don't know if you don't understand this or not. You are a new creature. You are created in Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship, and he works on you because he has a plan for you. And he wants to have the option of telling you, go here, do this, do that, because he wants to provide for you just as he planned. That's why every invitation is crucial. That's why every decision, as I preached last Sunday night, it is crucial, because God has a plan. He said, Elijah, you just prayed that there'd be a drought. So, Elijah, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. And he said, when you go to the brook Cherith, he said, a raven will feed thee there. You say, well, what if Elijah would have gone to the brook Cletus? I have no idea where that came from. But the raven wouldn't have fed him there. The raven might have pecked at him there. Why? Well, because God, as God also told the ram, go thou into the thicket. God said to the raven, raven, I want you to fly down there to the brook Cherith, and there's going to be a bald, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, hungry Baptist preacher, which is what stands before you right now. Raven, I want you to stop by Culver's and get a fried chicken dinner.
Amen.
Yeah. Notice it's not McDonald's anymore. It's Culver's fried chicken. And I want you to fly down there. I want you to drop that for that independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist. And he's going to eat because Baptist preachers love fried chicken.
Amen.
And so you say, well, what if Elijah would have gone somewhere else? Then the Methodist preacher would have got to eat. No, I'm just kidding. But you got to, folks, listen, this is our God we're talking about here. We're not talking about man. We're talking about God. And God's provision is planned. Study your Bible out and you'll see it so clearly. You know, hey, are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered. God orders you turn right, turn left, go straight, back up, stop, go. God orders us. He tells us, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. Are you doing it? You say, I don't understand. God's not providing for me. But are you where He wants you to be? Do you know, after Elijah was at the brook Cherith for a while and he got some fried chicken from Culver's from the raven, and which the ravens and the chickens are relatives. It was kind of tough on the raven, I'm sure. But the Bible says the brook dried up. Why did the brook dry up? Well, because Elijah had prayed for a drought. Isn't that something when your prayers come back to haunt you? But anyway, he'd prayed for the drought and the brook dries up. Now Elijah doesn't have any. And so God said, okay. He said, now Elijah, the raven's going to go on his way now. Raven's going to fly away, but he said, I want you to go to Zarephath, and a widow woman will take care of you there. Okay, go to Zarephath. And you know, Elijah's got to be thinking, a widow woman, she doesn't have any money, she doesn't have any food. Sure enough, he gets there, she has nothing. Just a little bit of meal. And being the good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist that he was, he said, prepare me something, you can starve. No, he didn't say that. But he just said, hey, feed me. And sure enough, she fed everybody. And God took care of him. Why? Because his provision is planned. He didn't say, Elijah, just take off and hopefully somebody will take care of you. Amen. Hallelujah. No, he had a plan. God always has a plan. You know, the ram was on Moriah exactly how God said. And God wants you and I to be in the right position, the right place. He wants everything to be right as far as in church. We're growing. We're doing what we're supposed to do because He has something for you. Some of you college kids, you know, I don't know how I'm going. God does. He's got it all taken care of. Well, what about my bill? God will sell a cow. You know, I mean, honestly, do what God says to do and quit worrying about everything else. His provision is perfect. His provision is planned. And then the last thing, number three, is His provision is precise. Always. Not too early. Not too late. Precise. Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, his timing's better than the atomic clock. Yeah. Precise. Always on time. Knife is raised to the throat. Head is pulled up. Neck stretched tight. Knife is ready. Abraham! God's not panicking. He's got it all under control. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. What's that called? That's called timing. That's called precise timing. When the fullness of the time was come. Not before, not after. When everything was ready, God sends forth His Son, born of a virgin, born under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And under the law, we could not redeem ourselves. And His provision is always precise. Somebody says, boy, that was close. And I forgot it wasn't close. All Abraham had to do is just be there and do what God said. God has it under control. His precision, or His provision is precise. It's always with precision. See, we're excited about the rapture, but I promise you, it is not going to take place till He says so. But I guarantee this, it's already planned. It's already on the Father's calendar. Amen. And so we get a little disturbed when some things start happening. You know, well, I'm not sure about that. This kind of bothers me. And maybe it even makes us a little uncomfortable. Hey, wait a minute. God will provide. He will. You know, well, I think I'm going to go through tribulation. No. We're not going through the tribulation, but you might go through some tribulation. You might have some tough times. We all are right now. Michigan, our economy's a mess, and some folks are going through some tough times. But God will provide. I look around, I don't see anybody that really looks like they're starving. Precise. Precise. And the rapture is going to be precise. And I guarantee, not 1 second early, not 1 second too late, the rapture is going to take place. Exactly how He plans. You say, well, I really hope I'm ready. I hope you are too. Number one, I hope you're saved. Because when the trumpet sounds, that's it. But I really hope Christians are ready too. Because you know what? You're not going to be able to undo anything. Just like that. Peter's walking on the water. He's in the waves. He says, Lord, save me. You know, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink. Lord, save me. The Bible says immediately. Immediately. Amen. His provision is precise. Salvation. Precise. Huh? Bible says, my God shall supply all your need. When? When you need it. It's amazing how we try to look ahead and say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. What do you mean you don't know how you're going to make it? You don't have a need, but I will have a need. No, you won't have a need. And if you have a need, He'll provide. Amen. I know you. Everybody would agree. Oh yes, I know that's true, preacher. But then God says, "Well, here's what I want you to do," and it's like, right? My God shall supply when you need it. That sack of groceries. I mean, let's be honest. It would have been all right if there had been 20 sacks of groceries. God could have done that, but we just needed the one sack with Chips Ahoy cookies and Wheaties. It had more than that. It actually had healthy stuff too. But I'm just saying, we had the one sack. Amen. I mean, you're the one that says, yeah, but what about tomorrow? Yeah, okay. And Elijah says, hey, raven, you coming back tomorrow? And the raven just takes off, you know. Oh, no, what am I going to do? Hey, buddy, eat the chicken that's there now. Glory to God. Eat the French fries and smother them with ketchup and hallelujah and some, never mind. But no. I'm appealing to your carnality. But I'm just saying, come on. God, will He or won't He? Is He God or is He not God? Did He say He would? Yes. Why don't we believe Him? Huh? Hey, whale. Now listen, I got a rendezvous for you, buddy. I need you to go out here. We've got a Baptist preacher on a boat and he's a little bit backslidden and they're about to toss him off in the water. You're going to have to swallow him. Amen. You talk about precise? Have you read Jonah didn't drown? Did anybody read that? He didn't drown. They threw him in the water. The whale swallowed him. Just like that. Okay. Whew. Wow, that was lucky. Really? Go out in an ocean sometime where whales visit and jump in the water, see if one swallows you. Hello? I'm seriously, you know? Oh, yeah, boy, it sure was fortunate. They must have thrown him right in the whale's mouth. Right at that time, the whale was yawning. Well, first of all, whales don't typically do that. I've watched whales in the water, and usually when they break the water, it's with their back. And if you threw somebody, they would get stabbed on their big, whatever that fin thing is. Yeah. Otherwise, they would just go thunk and then splash. Huh? No, the whale swallowed him. Why? God told it to. The whale said, what? That's how whales talk. I just can't imagine them talking any other way, you know? And it's like, could I have some salt and pepper, please? But sea salt, of course. Sure was lucky that boy came by with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? 5,000 people, plus wives and children. Guts start growling. They're all hungry. And well, there's a lad. He has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Huh? Yeah, I mean, come on, folks. It's good stuff. How about the Red Sea? You talk about precision. Let's talk about the parting of the Red Sea. All right? All these people go across on dry ground. The Egyptians are following them. Okay, they're behind them. And I mean, you talk about the precision of a machine. I'm talking about as soon as the last Israelite comes over on the other side, here come the Egyptians. You know, here they come and they're riding through. They're going to kill all the Jews. And as soon as they're all in, you know, God, do you think God knew how long of a line they would make and how wide it would be? Do you think God, when He parted the Red Sea, He knew how big to make the part so that all of God's people could cross? He knew exactly what to do. And He knew how many gallons of water does it take to drown an Egyptian army? And He didn't have to Google it. He just knew. And wow. I could just see the children of Israel on the other side. And God just smiles. You know, I've been there before. That was close. And God just smiles. Why? Because it's His plan. He had it all planned. You know what? Whatever you're going through today, whatever it is that's happening in your life, God will provide. Just keep going for Him. Do what He says. Obey Him. He always will provide. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. How many would say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved. If I were to die right now, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven. I've not trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Please pray for me." If that's you, please raise your hand. Say, "Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved." Anyone? Just slip up your hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart today about something in my life. I need the Lord to provide. I need to step out by faith." Whatever it is. God speaking to my heart as a Christian, pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Slip it up. Slip it up. I want to pray for you. Father, thank You for all the times, in the meantime, when You sent Your Son to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Thank You for providing over and over and over again. And I pray You'll work in hearts. Help us to make the decisions we need to make today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 303, 303 in your hymnals. God's speaking to your heart today. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. Come on the first verse as God leads you.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day
Others need to come. The invitation's still open. If you have a decision, something you'd like to pray about, come on right now. Come to the altar, pray about your decision. Any others need to come? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Many have come praying about a decision, something God's laid on their heart. God will provide. One of the stories could be told all over this room of financial, God providing. Answers to prayer, God providing. So many things. Folks are still praying. If you need to come, there's still time. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. You have a decision to make. One more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse. Amen. Well, look up this way, please. First of all, Joanne Schultz has come today, and she wants to join the church. She is saved and baptized. She is from First Baptist Church here in town, and we praise the Lord for that. And so all in favor of her joining, let it be known with a good hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Joanne, welcome. God bless you. We're so glad to have you. And then Terry Warwick has also come this morning, and she would like to unite with our church, and she is coming from New Beginning Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. She's saved and baptized, and all in favor of her joining, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that is wonderful. Joanne and Terry, why don't you, Kathy, if you'll lead them out to the foyer. And I want all our members to make sure and offer them the right hand to Christian Fellowship. And we're so glad to have you both here. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right. No fourth through sixth grade choir. this afternoon. So keep that in mind. Otherwise, everything else will go on as planned. First through third grade choir practice for adults. Teens will meet all at 5 o'clock. And men's prayer, ladies' prayer times also 5 o'clock. And so be here for that. And then our church service tonight at 6 o'clock. And we'll be excited about that. Brother Don, if you'd close in prayer, I'd sure appreciate it.
Father, we are thankful for your perfect, complete, precise provision. Lord, if we would but have ears to hear as Abraham did, walk where you guide and watch you provide. Challenge us, Lord, this week to do just that. And we'll give you the glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name.